You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we focus on the Bible and invite you to test what is taught in light of what the Scriptures teach.
Welcome to Season 12, Episode 5 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. In this season, we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, and the need to add to our faith. In the first episode, when we began this season, we were talking about how faith has to be the foundation. And in today's episode, as we're continuing to look at the different characteristics we add to our faith, we're going to be talking about adding self-control. So let's get started. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control. Self-control is what we're going to be talking about here in the episode today. That word that's translated self-control is a Greek word that Thayer defines as the virtue of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. And we think about what self-control is, the idea of mastery over our passions, over our desires, over our emotions. Self-control is something that comes as a result of knowledge and learning about the way of righteousness. We can see this when we look at Acts chapter 24 and verse 25, when Paul, while he was a prisoner, was speaking with Felix. And that verse, Acts 24, 25, says that he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. He was trying to impart knowledge of the truth of God's word to Felix, the way of righteousness, and understanding that that would lead to a need to have self-control. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit that's described in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. One of the things that comes as a result of following the directions of the Spirit as they are found in the Word of God. It means that we are not fulfilling our desires in a way that is contrary to the will of God, because instead of doing what we desire, we are exercising self-control so we can do what God desires. That's what we're talking about here in this episode. Now, as we've been looking at each of these characteristics, we've been looking at the fact that Peter said, add these to your faith. Well, what if we add them, but we don't add them to faith? What does self-control look like without faith? Now, from a worldly perspective, what self-control would be is a willingness to sacrifice short-term pleasure for a long-term gain. It's not a whole lot different from what we think about when we look at the biblical definition of self-control. But when it's not added to faith, but instead it's added to some worldly pursuits, then it's not going to end up with a good result in the end or a helpful result in the end eternally. There are many people in the world who exercise self-control, but they don't do it in the context of faith. Now, Paul explained over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25, when he talked about the Christian life as a race that we are to run, he used the example of those who compete in the games. And he said in 1 Corinthians 9, 25, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. His point was that you look at the athletes who compete in these games, they exercise self-control. Why do they do it? Because they're trying to gain some success in life, whether that's in some type of athletic competition, whether it's in business, whatever pursuit you want to go into, self-control helps one to obtain success in that pursuit. Self-control will cause one to be diligent in his work rather than being lazy in his work. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. There are people who have no faith, but they recognize that principle. They say they understand they have to be diligent, they have to exercise self-control, they have to not be lazy so that they can prosper. Self-control will lead one to be a good steward of his money and his possessions in order to avoid hardship. Proverbs 10:15, the rich man's wealth is his fortress. and the ruin of the poor is their poverty. Again, people without faith recognize this principle, that they have to be good stewards and good managers of their money so that they are not, so that they do not come into poverty. And also, someone can not have faith at all, but recognize the pitfalls of addiction and substance abuse. The proverb writer talked about that as well when he talked about the dangers of alcohol in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 30. After he asked the questions about who has all of these problems, woe, sorrow, contentions, complaining, he said it was those who linger long over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine. He mentioned in verse 35 of that chapter the addictive nature of alcohol, that when someone suffers all of these negative things that come from alcohol abuse, he awakes and he wants to seek another drink because it is addictive in nature. You can have, and there are a lot of people who are worldly people who are not, aren't coming at this, who aren't approaching this with a foundation of faith, but they recognize that they have to exercise self-control so that they don't suffer the consequences that come from giving into these substance abuse situations and giving into to these addictions that so many people fall into. But you have these ones who they're exercising self-control, but it's not rooted in faith. You also have those who exercise self-control in a form of faith. Paul described this in Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23. Those who had a form of religion, a will worship or self-made religion, where he described that they're saying, they were saying not to do this and not to do that and to deprive the body of certain things. And that's their religion. Well, it's not the religion of Christ. They're exercising self-control, but Paul explained in that passage, it is of no value against fleshly indulgence. It doesn't do any good. It's not helpful at all. But people exercise self-control in practicing some religious instruction that's not from God, but is from men. And so they're adding self-control not to faith, the faith, but to a faith that man has invented. But we see different ways that self-control, while it's commendable for people to have self-control, when it's not added to the faith, then the result, as Paul would say in Colossians 2 and verse 23, it is of no value. So what does self-control look like with faith? Again, as we've looked at this series, we are adding to our faith. Faith is the foundation. The source of faith, Romans 10, 17, is the Word of God. So we're adding self-control to our faith. It means we're adding self-control based upon this standards. What does that look like? Well, there's a few ways that we can look at this. Number one is that when we add self-control to our faith, it means we're not going to allow sin to master us. Back in Genesis chapter 4, Cain was told that after he was upset about God accepting his brother's sacrifice and not his offering that he made to God, God told him that sin is crouching at the door, but you must master it. He had to be in control, exercising self-control, so that he was not mastered by sin. That's what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 6, about those who would be allow sin to rule over them or to master them. Romans chapter 6. In verse 12, he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be a master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Do not let sin rule over you. Self-control added to faith means we're not going to allow sin to master us. It also means we're not going to allow non-sinful things to master us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Now, what he is saying here, he's not saying that, well, everything in the world is lawful, that fornication is lawful, that all of these other things, no, those aren't lawful. He's talking about of those things that are lawful, of those things that would fit into the category of being authorized or we are at liberty to practice those things. He says, of those things, I'm not going to be mastered by anything. There may be some things that are perfectly acceptable, but we allow them to master us. We allow them to become as a god over us. We cannot allow even non-sinful things to master us. But self-control, that is added to faith, it's going to look like what Jesus described in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, where he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny self. That is what, when we think about the definition that we looked at of exercising self-control, this is about mastering our desires and our passions. And in the context of what the Bible talks about, this is so that we can serve God. Deny ourselves and follow Christ. So how do we go about adding self-control to our faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So we have to go to the Word of God. How do we go to the Word of God to add to our faith? What do we have to do? We have to know that there is a difference between right and wrong. And this is more than just, we understand and we have some knowledge that there is a difference. This is about how it applies practically in our lives. Peter wrote about in his first letter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Keep sober in spirit. It's the idea of exercising self-control. But right before that, he said, prepare your minds for action. This is about how we practice it in our lives. It is possible to know what is right, but not do it. James 4:17, the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. We have to know the difference between right and wrong and then put that into practice. We add self-control to our faith by recognizing what Moses recognized in Hebrews chapter 11, that the pleasures of sin are only passing, that they are temporary, that there is pleasure that does come from sin, but it doesn't last. It's not eternal. It doesn't even last a lifetime or anywhere close to that. It is fleeting. It is passing. Instead, we need to do what Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse 14, that we press on toward the goal. How did he do that? Well, he did that by doing what he said in verses 7 and 8, by counting all things as loss for the sake of Christ. Or as Jesus said in the verse that we noticed earlier in Luke 9 and verse 23, we deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him. Recognize the pleasures of sin are passing, and so instead we're going to press on toward the goal. And then one other point that we can think about on this is how we add self-control to our faith. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul talked about marriage and the marriage relationship and a question that the Corinthians had about marriage. He said in verses 1 and 2, now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband. And then in verse 5, stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time so that you may devote yourself to prayer and come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. What Paul is talking about there is that you have a question about whether it was good for one to touch a woman, or the idea of marriage, that is marriage legitimate? And Paul said that it was because of immoralities, because there is a temptation to engage in fornication, that you can have a legitimate relationship where you can fulfill those sexual desires, and that is in marriage. And so while it's true that we need to avoid fornication and not commit fornication, Paul said that one thing that you can do is that you can get married. Now, if someone doesn't get married, there's still the responsibility to avoid fornication. But one way to avoid fornication is to get married. Now, whether someone gets married or not, the point is that Paul was making the point that you need to focus on what you can do more than what you cannot do. Focus on what you are able to do, not what you are prohibited from doing. You're prohibited from committing fornication, but what you can do instead is you can be married and you can have that relationship with your spouse. And so whether it's we're talking about fornication or anything else where we have to exercise self-control, add self-control to our faith, look at what God has allowed us to do. Look at what we are able to do in our service to Him. Look at the responsibilities that we have. Look at the ways that we can grow and the ways that we can help, the ways that we can interact with others, and so many things that we could do. Instead of focusing so much on, well, I can't do this, look at everything that you can do. How do we add self-control to our faith? Look at what you can do more than what you cannot do. And also, finally, how do we add this to our faith? Look to Jesus. Look to His example. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us." Let us exercise self-control by laying this aside. "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Look to Jesus. He was obedient to the point of death, as Philippians 2 and verse 8 says. We can deny ourselves and follow Him, as Luke 9 and verse 23 says. How do we add self-control to our faith? Follow the example of Christ, who was willing to obey the Father's will, carry out the Father's will, even if it meant a terrible end in this life on the cross. Though He would be raised from the dead, He suffered horribly on the cross. But He was willing to go through that because He was fulfilling that mission. We can exercise self-control by looking at His example and following His will in all things. So Peter, as he's explaining in this passage, we have to add to our faith. And part of that is developing self-control so that we can keep from sin and do what is right in all things. We need to make sure that we are putting God's will ahead of our own will.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching weekly newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others.
I've just recently released a new book, Identifying the Lord's Church, published by Gospel Armory. This book examines four questions that will help identify the Lord's Church so that we can each become a part of the Lord's Church today. And I mention this now because it's available at a special introductory price through the Gospel Armory online store for just $5. So if you want to pick up a copy of that, there's a link in the show notes. That price is good through the end of the month, so you can check that out if you're interested in that. Next week, we're going to be talking about adding perseverance. Until then, I hope you have a great week.